Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you doing, Dave?
I am doing splendid. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for being here. It's great to have you here. Also, it's great to have Brian Chaffin. How are you doing?
I'm good too. Why not?
Awesome. It's so good. You have your horns playing.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. The music is. Yes.
Yes. Also, Atlassian is our sponsor this week, which is really awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, have you guys checked out the list that that I shared with everyone this morning about why buying an iPhone 4 is going to be a bad idea?
Jeff, tell us
do
about
tell.
The list.
Yeah, you tell, please.
All right. So I stumbled across a piece from The Guardian this morning, and it's a piece from 2010. Just to be clear, it's not like they haven't realized that we have new phones, and it's not like they're saying it's kind of late in the game to buy an iPhone 4. This is a piece that they ran the day before Apple announced the iPhone 4. And they're explaining exactly why it's a really bad idea for people to buy the new iPhone, or at that point, what was going to be the new iPhone. And there's all these really interesting reasons why. Well, actually, it's a list of 10 reasons. And you need to check out the list. But the overview is that it's too expensive. Apple is anti-technology, which is really a weird one for me. It didn't support Flash.
Oh yeah, that's a killer one.
I mean, that's what killed it eventually.
Yeah, it's totally what killed the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I meant Flash. Too. It's what killed Flash.
I preferred to play straight man.
I know.
You did a great
job. Man too, and then I figured I'd go the other way.
Well, yeah. Another thing is that there's no multitasking on the iPhone. That's just completely it's useless.
Right. And at the time this article was written, the multitasking that we have today didn't exist. Well, it did. We just didn't know about it until the next day. And yeah, complains about battery life. So that hasn't changed. Another one that I found very interesting, it's because it costs money to develop apps.
What?
Yeah, so they felt that it was a waste of resources for companies to have to build apps.
Well, that's just like, I mean, they just nailed that one right there.
Yeah, they totally nailed that one. Yeah, also, it comes with bad headphones. And do you guys like
Apple's? Can we go back to this thing where you shouldn't buy the iPhone because it costs companies money to develop apps? Can we go back to that one?
Sure, we can go back to that. Because absolutely.
What? WTF?
Oh, I know. One of the selling points for the iPhone is the fact that there's this very rich collection of apps available through the App Store, and they are native apps. So they can do things that you wouldn't be able to do, say, in a web browser. And when you're developing apps, it seems to me, if you do your job correctly, that the app you create becomes an asset for your company and not a liability. So it's an investment as opposed to just spending money.
Their actual point here is that money being spent on developing apps could have been spent, quote, towards more generally useful ideas. In other words, any money spent developing an app is essentially harming mankind, because some other vague thing could have been spent on some other vague thing. I mean, it's just completely insane. I mean, it's massively insane. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, especially through the course of the lens of hindsight, which shows that while there's a bunch of, you know, garbage apps out there, some of the most interesting changes in society right now for the last several years has been driven by apps.
Mm-hmm.
It's likely those of you listening to this are listening via an app.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so, you know, Instagram, was Instagram a thing yet when this article was written?
No.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have been. No.
I mean, and so, all right, let's just look at Instagram. It's a place sometimes for where narcissists get to get their narcissist on, right? You know, like the selfie thing is completely out of hand. But aside from that, Instagram is this amazing window into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I wouldn't even say aside from that. I would say including that.
Including, you're right. You're totally right.
Yeah, and it was started by, you know, a couple of people, and then Facebook bought it for $3 billion. Again, that app just didn't work out. I mean, talk about something that just cratered a company.
No kidding.
I mean, but Instagram has just so much amazing value to us
human
beings.
To be fair, Instagram could exist without being an app, right? Instagram is a service.
Right. But it existed as an app first.
No, I know, but it's not just on the iPhone.
But it was.
Was it initially iPhone only? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that
makes sense. Yeah. Sure.
And I mean, you know, Instagram is just one thing. Instagram makes the world a better place, in my opinion. Right, it exposes us to new viewpoints if we're willing. You know, if we have any interest in seeing those viewpoints, we have this amazing opportunity to see the world through other people's eyes, and that's just an amazing thing. And admittedly, like I said, Instagram didn't exist yet, but this myopic concept that any money spent on developing an app could have been spent on something else. That's just completely weird.
It's weird. Yeah, I agree. Yep. Hey, I want to jump back to the first point on that list real quick, which is that the iPhone costs too much money. And they held up BlackBerry as an alternative that you could be buying because, hey, you won't be paying as much money. And we see how well this market has played out for BlackBerry. But the other thing that stood out to me from this point was that we had a very different perspective on how we paid for our phones back then. And so the argument that's being made is that because you're buying a subsidized phone, you're getting a better deal and it's costing you less. Whereas that's actually not the case because you continue to pay the subsidized price even after your phone is paid off. Therefore, you were paying more for your phone than if you had bought it outright. Hmm. And now we're seeing these changes to the way we buy our phones. T-Mobile was a big instigator in this, where you pay for the price of your phone, and then once you've completed paying it off, your bill drops down lower. So anyhow, I just thought it was interesting that phone subsidies was a selling point on this list.
It's not very well designed. That's an interesting one. And then it charges for sat nav. So wasn't Google Maps like out of the box? That's a weird one.
Yeah, I thought that one was really weird.
That was AT&T charging for sat nav. Back then, you could have Google Maps existed, but there was some restriction that kept Google Maps from providing driving directions. So the only way you could get sat nav on the phone was either by paying AT&T a monthly fee for it, and I think that existed then, or by buying an app like Navigon or, you know, one of the like ALK's Copilot or something like that back then.
So their point that the cheapest way you can turn your overpriced iPhone into a sat nav is with the $19.99 app, a bargain compared to what? Yeah. Buying a standalone Garmin device?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. It was like the day that I looked at guitar, probably right about this time, in fact, because I was just starting to play guitar and needed a tuner, and looked, and it was like, gosh, there's no free apps. So then I start looking on Amazon. Tuners are like $50, and, you know, somewhere between $30 and $100 or whatever. I'm like, well, I don't want one of these cheap ones. I guess I'll spend $50. And I'm about to make the purchase, and I stop myself. It's like, wait a minute. I'm willing to spend $50, but not $10. That's weird. I went and bought the $10 tuner app. But that was like a tipping point for me.
For a device that you would have with you all the time.
All the time. That's correct. Yeah, no. Thankfully, it all came together before I pulled the trigger on buying this stupid $50 tuner. But that was a tipping point for me. I understand where the author's coming from on that one. A lot of people kind of had to go through that process. Certainly I did. It's stupid. And I'm pointing that finger directly, you know, back at me. So,
yeah, well, all of us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that we take for granted now, again, through the lens of hindsight in particular.
Correct.
But here's the 10th point that the Telegraph put together for us is that those iPod docks are holding back better technologies. So their point was that if it wasn't for the iPod and iPhone's ubiquity, there'd be more Wi-Fi radios, more new technologies, and a range of different options competing and driving innovation. To which I say, really? Really? Is that the case? Or is it actually the case you're even thinking about this in the first place because of iPhone and iPod?
Yeah, and I think we would have said that back then, too, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's not just a hindsight thing. That's just, wow, what a bogus list.
Oh, I know. And released the day before the iPhone 4 came out, which included Maps.
Right.
And now, of course, it didn't have the full turn-by-turn navigation that we have today. Or did it? I don't remember now.
I don't remember now either. I thought it did, but I will not stake anything on that.
I don't remember. It just feels now like I've always had Maps on my iPhone, and that I've always been using Maps for navigation. It's interesting how that just becomes part of your world, and you don't even think about it anymore.
It's true.
Yeah. So, hey, you want to go out and get a BlackBerry with Flash and Navigon on it?
Well, would Navigon...
That's not fair. Navigon became part of Garmin.
Yeah, that's the problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem with that. Not the. I mean, so you can turn your overpriced iPhone into a sat nav with the $19.99 app bargain. It's like, yeah, exactly.
That is a bargain.
It's a huge bargain. Are you kidding? That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm assuming an in-car.
It's free.
Yeah, yeah. In-car navigation system at that point in time, 2010. What would that run you? $500.
Yeah, probably $300 to $500, I would think.
Yeah. Still more than $20.
Yeah.
That's right. Low resolution screen that might or might not have been touch sensitive.
And it doesn't make phone calls.
Suction mount included.
Oh, well, there you go, well, Dave.
I remember Priuses had some sort of in-dash navigation system that was pretty baller at the time.
Well, I mean, back then, pretty much any car you could get with an in-dash navigation system, but you'd pay $2,000 for it when you bought the car.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So bargain.
Yeah. Bargain.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. I just thought this was a really fascinating list and just really interesting to look at the perspective that people had on the iPhone 6 years ago. And of course, we still have people complaining about things today. I still complain about the headphones. I think the earbuds, earpods, whatever that Apple includes, are just horrible. But, you know, I guess I'm finicky like that. So, anyhow, thanks for taking the time to go through that list with me, because that...
Yeah, it's a fun little blast from our past.
Yeah. And there is some Schadenfreude with the whole BlackBerry thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude, but go ahead.
Well, I'm from Missouri. It's amazing I can say the word at all. So, hey, did I mention we have a sponsor today?
Yes.
Excellent.
Tell us.
Okay, so our sponsor is Atlassian, and you may not be familiar with the name of the company, but I bet you're familiar with their products. They make Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket, and these are all apps that make your job and your life easier if you need to collaborate with other people and work on projects. Their stuff is designed to make it easy for people that need to get a project completed and work together efficiently. Well, that sentence got away from me. Anyhow, that's what they do. They make the tools that make it easy for you to do that. So they've been around for a few years, of course, and you should really check out their tools, because if you need to do coding, if you need to work with other people remotely, say instant messaging and video chatting with other team members for meetings, you know, they've got the tools for that, and they've got an easy way for you to share all the assets that you need for the project you're working on, and it all just comes together. Nice. And how did Steve Jobs say it? Like butter? I think that's what he said. It was like butter. Anyhow, check them out. They're at Atlassian.com, and that's Atlassian. And check out their tools, because there's a good chance whatever you're doing, you'll be able to do more efficiently if you're using Atlassian's apps. So thank you for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk about, Dave, you stumbled across a patent that got us talking about where Apple may be going with the iPhone. And this was a patent for waterproof or water repellent speakers for a mobile device.
That's right. Yeah, it's a patent for water resistant speakers and then bone conduction earphones that also would, you know, presumably work in a scenario where there might be liquid around the headphones. So it's a really interesting thing if we take a look at that kind of in the context of what Apple has been doing with regards to water. Obviously, water damage has always been a big issue with their portable devices, especially the iPhone. They've even got water sensors in there that their techs, the Genius Bar, can quickly look at to see if you've got water damage. And oftentimes that will, you know, sort of invalidate your warranty. But without putting any PR behind it, or certainly no public announcements behind it, the last three phones that they've released, the 6S, the 6S Plus, and now the SE, all are effectively waterproof, at least for a while. And by a while, I mean an hour. So if your 6S or newer drops into, you know, a bucket of water and you grab it out pretty quickly, you're not going to have, I mean, I can't guarantee anything, but based on every test, every single test that we've seen, you're not going to have a problem. And some of those tests, like, thankfully, my daughter has a 6S because she's had some water issues recently, and it was a non-issue is the thing. But so here's Apple releasing these three phones and then, you know, getting this patent on the speakers. And people have said when they take their phone out, you know, they got to let the speaker dry out before it sounds right again. But then it does sound right again. So they've got this patent on the speakers and then the headphones. They're clearly pushing down this path without saying a thing about it. And to me, that's really interesting. Solving a problem, but not yet making a big fuss. It'll be interesting when the iPhone 7 comes out to see if they decide to make a big fuss, or whatever the next iPhone is, when, you know, the next one in the fall, presumably something's coming in the fall. What will that be? Yeah. I don't know. It's fascinating to see this happening. Makes sense, but interesting how they're handling it.
Well, if they do choose to start promoting the, I'll call it weatherproofness of the iPhone, I hope they don't go down Samsung's path. There's a commercial that Samsung ran recently about a waterproof phone that they're making, and their justification for people buying it: global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, tomato, tomato.
That's a little... That's curious.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, here's what I think is interesting. Apple seems to have approached this in part from a support standpoint. It's a pretty good guess that one of the biggest things that Apple sees at the Apple Store, the Genius Bar, is phones that have been damaged by water.
Clearly.
And
totally.
The easiest way for the vast majority of companies to approach this problem would be to just simply make it ironclad that waterproof, that water damage is just not going to be covered. Right? That's just the easiest way to do it.
And Apple's been pretty clear about that, to be fair.
Yes, but at the same time, they've been doing these things that we just talked about.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason why they're doing that is to solve the customer friction problem of as opposed to it just being a marketing issue. And the devices that we've seen out there that do advertise being waterproof, it's essentially a marketing point. And it seems like it was done to provide a marketing point, not to solve that customer friction problem in the first place. And I think this is one of Apple's better aspects quietly at work.
All right, I like that.
I'll buy that. Yeah,
yeah, I'll buy that too. We're going to have to wrap up. We are out of time. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Fun.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Like, absolutely, my pleasure. Yeah.
And Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website and check out their tools, atlassian.com. That's atlassian.com. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.